I understand that I'm abnormal, and so you probably don't struggle with what I struggle with, but I have listening issues. And the reality is you probably don't struggle with that like I struggle, so maybe this will help you peek into my world a little bit, and you can decide maybe if you are abnormal too. But I didn't listen to my mom several years ago. This movie would have never made it onto the Myers family video shelf. But I came across Pauly Shore's video, Son-in-Law, back in the early 90s. And there's something that happens in this video. It's a family that lives in rural South Dakota, and the daughter decides she's going to go to the big university in L.A., and so dad is taking his monster big farm truck, driving it through L.A. traffic, and there's a little junior high boy who happens to be this girl's brother, and dad has brought him along to carry all the boxes into the dormitory. This is a co-ed dorm, and this young man's eyes are wide open to the chaos that is in the big University of LA. And as he kind of ponders his way through there, they get into the room, and the sister has a beautiful roommate, and they're working and doing all these things, and the boy's taking in the chaos of all of the world, and all of a sudden his dad is like, come on, we have work to do. And the young man just grabs out of the roommate's dresser drawer her bra, puts it over his head, and looks at his dad and goes, I can't hear you. You been there? Maybe you have listening issues and are a little bit abnormal like me, that sometimes the world that we walk through has so much going on and we're so intrigued and there's all of these things that are grabbing at our attention, and at times because of all the noise and all the curiosity and all the struggles that we have with selfishness and insecurity and sin, we just would rather put pleasure over our ears and say, unfortunately, I can't hear you. We've been in this series, The Secret Heart, and this is the tension we're going to explore today. The fact of what are and who are we listening to. We've applied a bunch of consistency to this conversation where we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 23 and seeing what the prophet does in that chapter to help us see kind of the ache of what it looks like to walk away from the covenant love of God in our own pursuits, and the prophet's responsibility is to call us back toward God. And so if that's the case, and he's pointing us to Jesus, we've been looking at the teachings of Jesus and say, what does Jesus do with this conversation? And then out of Jesus's conversation, we've just allowed ourselves to look at some wisdom literature and say, and be reminded that the Lord champions the depths of our hearts, that he wants us to win there. Nobody's advocating greater for you and I in the secret places of our life than God himself. He wants to see us renewed. And then we've been concluding with David, a man who has had plenty of tensions in the depths of his heart and sometimes lived really well out of that space and other times lived really horribly in that place. And so we've just been landing with some of his words. So this morning, as we head that direction and we think through some of our listening issues, let me just help us through Seth Godin's comments concerning words and how words even make it hard to listen. He says, words matter. Any word that's really important is also confusing. Words like trust, love, friend, fair, honest, lead, connect, authentic, justice, dignity. They have dozens of different meanings. Perhaps that's because they're important. As we think about some important words this morning, I want to ask us, are we listening? And who are we listening to? And what word is getting prioritization in our listening? Let me just start off with the fact, if you've been reading through Jeremiah chapter 23 in its totality, you have heard and seen the word multiple time, message and burden. This is the message of the Lord. This is the burden of the Lord, is how the text reads. And the interesting part is, in the original Hebrew language, that word is both of those words. It's the same word, and yet it has multiple understandings. And as you start reading and thinking through this, it is. It's the burden of the Lord that we live divided. It's the message of the Lord that we would draw back to oneness, that we would come back and not live in the nourishment of, well, the language of lies and the lifestyle of reckless living. Right? And so even in this very text, we're seeing how words are important, and often important words mean different things. And so what are we actually listening for? Look at Jeremiah chapter 23 this morning, specifically verse 16 and 17 at this point. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall be or come upon you." As we look at this text this morning, you might want to circle that word, listen. And as you do some secret heart work this week, you might ask yourself to start listening to the filters in which you listen. You recognize that in our listening, we're constantly absorbing. We're absorbing the news. We're absorbing social influence. We're absorbing entertainment. We're absorbing comparison, right? And all of those things that we absorb start to build up the filters in which we live the rest of our life. And the Lord, through the prophet, says, which prophet are you going to listen to? Now, don't overthink the word prophet here. Yes, there are prophets in Scripture that have divine responsibility to give a word of the Lord, to draw people back into a relationship with God. But in this specific spot, it's just saying people who teach, people who have influence, they're talking all of these things. They're stamping their conversations as conversations of authority, and they're telling you that there is a world out there that is for you, and all you need to do is just be happy. And that your life, whatever you choose, will not be a disaster. You see, we have to ask ourselves what we're listening to. And maybe this week, if you will actually listen and listen through what you're listening through, you might find yourself going, wow, I really take this channel, this person's voice, my own voice in my head. I maybe amplify that voice in a way that it doesn't deserve to be amplified. So we need to listen. This text also tells us that there's a disconnect. Did you see it? Filling you with vain hope. It's of their own minds. It despises the word of the Lord. They claim that it shall be well with you. I think it's important that we recognize in something like this that we daily come into lots of pleasures. And in living out of our feelings and in living out of our guts, we think, well, this will be okay. And okay in the moment might be okay, until it isn't okay in the long haul. All right? As Jesus speaks to us, he is looking at the overall and long-term health of your soul. And if you and I can't figure out how to listen and what word in our life has authority, then we will follow a bunch of other words. And though the Lord can redeem, and he does redeem, all of the wrong turns we take throughout life, the Holy Spirit would, rather than having to consistently do a redemptive work in our life, the Holy Spirit would like to do a proactive work in our life to guard our hearts and to protect our minds and to allow us to live in the freedoms that we have in Christ, and out of those freedoms find health and wholeness, or as we've been talking about, oneness. So we have to understand that we need to listen. We have to understand that we're walking through a world filled with disconnects. And on the surface, they promise a lot, but over the long haul, they don't deliver on their promises. And that's what the prophet goes on to say when he says, stubbornly, these people follow their own hearts, and they say, no disaster shall come upon you. As you go do this week some deep secret heart work, and as you're listening, and as you find yourself, like I oftentimes find myself, starting to justify the reason of why I listen to this voice or to these words, or why I interpret them my way rather than the collective way, why I do that, well, when we start doubling down on stuff, that ought to be a warning flag for us. We need to make sure when we double down on our own preferences, when we double down on our own thoughts, specifically to them not aligning with the Word of God, that should be a major red flag. Because, well, we're a stubborn people. And it says they stubbornly pursue their own heart. And in the back of our minds, we're like, this is not a disaster. I've got this all figured out. But if you've lived much life at all, you've walked from the back of your mind to the reality of your life, and you know, I know, that when we don't align with the God, further brokenness happens. But it's hard. There's no doubt about it, because the world that we live in is filled with this idea that is stubbornly doubling down on the fact that truth is relative. That a word can have all of these multiple meanings, and that's totally just fine. Now, the world is doubling down on all you need to do is feel good. If it feels good, then it is good. Our world is doubling down, and we are even speaking things like this, that, well, all I want to do is just be happy. Or all I want is for my kids and my grandkids to just be happy. This morning, I just want to ask you, if you're abnormal like me and have listening issues, of what word is going to get the priority in your life? Because you see, the Lord is a capital W word. We find that Jesus is the Word. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we allowing the capital W word in our life to be the definition and the alignment of all of the other lowercase W words in our life? Because no doubt about it, you're smart people. You're gifted people. You have great perspective and great insight, and the Lord has wired you and gifted you and given you a brain to think and a heart to feel and a life to live. And you do a lot of good with it. And so do a lot of other people. And so we speak in these lowercase W words, and they're significant because they encourage and they challenge and they inspire. And we should keep using our lowercase W words for the glory and the honor of God, and for the equipping of his church, and for the encouragement of the communities around us. But the problem comes when all of a sudden we over elevate our lowercase W words and we start making them uppercase W words, and they don't align with the all caps word, the person in the work of Jesus. And sometimes I find myself not listening as well as I would like to listen. Now let's walk further into this text in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. He says, "For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth in a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel," under my wisdom is what that means, "then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds." As people navigating a world who are trying to be spiritual, and yet we have to wrestle with our humanity, I think it is a really sobering and helpful truth to recognize that we can be deeply spiritual and simultaneously wrong. Catch that. We can be deeply spiritual. We can be deeply in love with God. We can be pursuing Jesus. We can be living out of the Spirit, and simultaneously, we can have some wrong things going on in our lives. Some motives, some thoughts, some feelings. And we have to ask ourselves, when we're deeply spiritual and we're simultaneously wrong, which reaction gets to win? Which one is going to decide how we will move forward from that place? This text specifically says, well, the way to figure that out is to start cultivating some things. The text tells us to cultivate hearing. Did you hear it? Hear his word. It goes on to say, not just hear it, are you paying attention to his word? And then it asks the question, are you listening to his word? Right after we get asked these questions of, are we hearing? Are we paying attention? Are we listening? The prophet Jeremiah steps in and puts a picture before us and says, behold the storm of the Lord. It's like he's pulling back the curtain and helping us understand that in the deep parts of our secret heart, there's a war going on. And it's a battle. And we have to decide which word is going to win in that space in our life. And he tells us, the only reason the Lord goes to war, to make chaos, to make us wrestle. Well, I would circle this in the text. It says, to accomplish the intent of his heart. You know what the heart of the Lord is, don't you? Well, it's the opposite of the burden of the Lord that we've been reading about. The burden of the Lord is that we would live divided with God, with ourselves, and with others. And so the intent of the Lord is that we would find oneness with God, that we would find wholeness and a new identity that we can have in Jesus, where we would get a new heart and get to live out of the fruits of that heart, and that that would allow us to walk better in unity with those among us. So as you look through this storm, know that the only reason the Lord storms in our life is to mature us, to help us see more deeply and live out of more fully the intent of his heart. As we've listened now to the prophets, we need to step over and look at Jesus. How did Jesus listen to this? How did Jesus live out of what he had listened out of the Old Testament in alignment with God, whom he had been with since the very beginning? What did Jesus do with this? Well, this isn't Jesus that you're about to see, but this is a great thought. Not sure if I should ask her to repeat herself or just pretend I heard her. You been there? You been there with God? I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus, and I know the word of God. And then we just keep walking. as if like we've got that figured out, even though that's pretty complex. But because I'm all of those things, then I'm just going to keep walking in the way that I live, and I'll live out of the secret place of my heart. And the question is, yeah, you are those things. And in Christ, you do have a new identity, and you are becoming more full, me and you both. But maybe it would do us well to ask ourselves on the regular, Lord, did I hear you right? When you say justice, do you and I have the same alignment on what just is? When you say influence, do you and I think alike, Lord, on influence? Father, when you say steward, do you and I align in the way that I'm managing my life and the way you have designed me to manage my life, right? Like, yeah, don't just, hey, I'm Christian, I follow Jesus, and I know the Bible, and start walking. I think for those of us who want to allow the Lord to redeem the secret place of our hearts, we are a people that are open about constantly turning our ear and our eyes back and saying, did I listen to the Lord in that space? And in that listening, is it reflected in my living? That's what the prophet is trying to help us with. So listen to how Jesus walks through this. Listen well. He says, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measures you use it well, you use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You've heard this word before, right? I mean, even people who have never opened the scriptures and looked at the word of God, they know this text, right? Like, we're constantly, don't be a hypocrite. We're constantly, don't judge lest you be judged. No judgment zone, no conversation zone for harder conversations, right? Like, we know this text. The question is, are we paying attention? Jesus is asking, are you listening? I think it's really, really important that we understand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying, don't judge. Matter of fact, the scriptures would tell us there's coming a day when we're all going to be judged, and we ought to live in preparation of that judgment. This is a deep scripture about accountability. What it's doing is saying, don't say that you're a Christian and then start working on everybody else's problems. No. Jesus walked with the Father, and as he walked with the Father, he kept looking back at the Father, even as the divine one, and saying, Lord, lead me. God, fill me. And as you fill me, may I walk well with those among me. And he knew when to challenge, and he knew when to encourage, and he balanced those things well. You see, it's not about not judging. It's about living in a proper perspective of rich accountability, where I'm not here to change the world around me without the world within me being transformed by Jesus. And as that world within me is transformed by Jesus, I would long for other people to have that rich experience like me. And so we don't walk trying to judge others. We walk with a rich desire to be learners with others. That as we keep working on the logs in our eyes, the darkness in the depths of our being, we too might be able to show them what it would look like to handle those things in their lives. life. We work through things like, what are the primary issues that all humanity really have to wrestle with? Meaning, like, Jesus as salvation. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Those are primary issues that we need to have hard conversations on. And where we don't align, we keep encouraging. And we keep challenging. And we keep walking alongside of people. And then we know that there are secondary issues. There are things in the scriptures that if people would do these things, it is just greater for humanity. Everybody wins when secondary issues are helpful and aligned. And then there are those systemic issues. Things that honestly people have been born into and are struggling with and wrestling with. And those things take a mighty act of God and a long time to work out of. And the problem is we start out at the systemic issues and get all sorts of divided on those things, which gives us no hope to talk about the primary issues. And Jesus is saying, be really, really careful in the conversations, in the things that you're having. Check the depths of your heart and make sure when you're confronting one another that the intent of your heart is the intent of God's heart, which is oneness with God, which is salvation, which is the ability for Jesus to give people a new identity. And if that isn't the intent of your heart, then don't go picking around on other people's lives. And never pick on other people's lives without being willing to learn alongside of them. You being first in the process of humility. This morning, I think it's important that as we look at Jesus and we think about, well, the capital W word in our life having authority, or all the lowercase W words taking over our lives, we would be reminded that communion is something we do in a collective gathering as we gather week by week. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and grab a hold of your communion. But we take this collectively because we're to remember the life, the death, the resurrection, and the eternal reign of Jesus. And out of our remembering, it should inspire us in our living. And so sometimes I think when we get in these conversations throughout the week, conversations with others, conversations with ourselves, conversations with God, I think we need to remember back to this moment and remember that the Word became flesh. That this capital W word is Jesus himself. And as we're in conversation, we need to ask ourselves, the body and person that was broken for us, is that the voice that is winning in the depths of our heart and being lived out in our thinking, in our feeling, and in our doing? As we think through that this morning, let's eat of that word. And as you peel back the storms of your life, may on the regular, throughout your days and weeks, months and years, may you recognize that the blood of the covenant is to remind us of the intent of God's heart. It is to renew us and to renew those among us. Let's drink together. Father, we're grateful for the intent of your heart. And there are certainly hard words in your scripture. And even in those hard words, we trust your intent. Because what we see in these hard conversations is that you are consistently pursuing us and the restoration of us and preparing us for a day in hopes that we would live in the fullness of who you are as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Father, may we look at the person and the work of Jesus. And may that be the capital W word that takes residency in the depths of our heart and is the way we would define and align all other lowercase w words that have influence in us and through us. We know that we receive truth in grace because of your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I think when we land ourselves remembering who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, and that Jesus' desire is to do a resurrecting work in our everyday lives, it allows us to read the wisdom literature with such great insight. So I want to take us there this morning. In Proverbs 16:20, it says, "Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good." Check this out. Here's the promise. "And blessed is he." But look at the response. "And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Trust is about hearing. Trust is about paying attention. Trust is about listening that finds itself living. "Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Can I encourage you this week, as you're doing the work in the secret heart, could you just go to Proverbs chapter 2 and dwell there this week? Just read Proverbs chapter 2 and allow the Lord to give you a rich word in your week, and to just ponder, what are the filters that you're listening through? And as you read through Proverbs chapter 2, can I encourage you to jump over to Psalm 119? And to just ask yourself if that is the capital W word that is the word that is leading all of the other lowercase W words. I ask you to do that because, well, David did that type of work. And as David pondered the wisdom of God, and he opened himself up to the capital W word of the Lord, it transformed him. And no doubt about it, David listened to plenty of lowercase w words in his life, and it was destructive. And the Lord had to do a gracious and merciful work in David's life to realign things. And God was good in that. But on David's best days, he was, well, proactive in following the Lord's leading in his life. Listen to a few of the things that David writes in that Psalm 119. He says this in verse 29, "Put false ways far from me." Put those false words far from me. "And graciously, Lord, teach me your word." David knew the power of the word in his life. He said this in verse 11, "I have stored up your word." This was a collection. This was an ongoing process for David. This was a by-day work in the life of David. "I have stored up your word in my heart." And in doing so, it transformed him. It transformed his living. It says, "that I might not sin against you." Can I encourage you this week to allow Proverbs 2 and Psalm 119 to guide you? And in that place, allow the Lord to do a mighty work in the secret heart, which allows us to land right here. In Psalm 51:6, it's where we've landed the last several weeks. "Behold, behold, you delight in the truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Let me read that over you one more time. "Behold, you delight in the truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart."